We're given a couple of examples in the New Testament of darkness. And really, I think darkness is about as dark as darkness gets. Of course, remember in Acts chapter 7, Stephen being stoned to the point that he died. Paul, in his own words, says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 24 that he received from the Jews 39 lashes 5 times. 3 times he was beaten with rods, he was stoned. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He has been in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from his countrymen, from the Gentiles in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, among false brethren, dangers, dangers, dangers. He has been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Jesus, who is the top, far outweighs all of human suffering, was crucified on a cross, but not only that, he bore the weight of all the sin to ever be on this earth. And my question is, in how many of these instances did darkness win? We see in Acts 7 and verse 55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he, and we're talking about Stephen here, gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen still had that life, that life at the right hand of God, and darkness didn't prevent that. And darkness did not prevent the church and the truth of Jesus that Stephen was proclaiming. We see in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Paul still had this crown of life that far outweighed the struggles and the darkness that we saw that he was going through. Darkness could not keep that away from him. We see talking about Jesus in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right throne at the right hand at the throne of God. Jesus still had joy. Jesus still had the Father. Darkness could not prevent that, and it could not prevent the wonderful plan of God that extends salvation down to us today. And so no matter how heavy darkness gets, and it gets pretty dark and heavy at times, light always comes out on top. It was not too long ago that our family went to Carlsbad Caverns. And I really enjoy going to Carlsbad. One of the things that you just get a reminder of is how dark it can really get underneath the ground. And it's, you know, at Carlsbad now they have lights all over the place, but at the same time you can see in the various corners and in the backs of the cave, man, it's dark back there. And it reminds me of whenever I was younger, my family took me to Missouri, and we went to a cavern there in Missouri. And when we were down underneath the ground, they turned off the lights. Maybe you've been through that. I think they do that at Carlsbad too. But whenever they do that, we say it was dark, so dark that you could what? So that you could feel it. So that you could feel it. And I just find that that's such an interesting choice of words. Because can you really feel the darkness? No, of course you can't. But we do give this darkness kind of a power that it doesn't have. And I think that that's reflective of the way that we think sometimes. We give darkness a lot of power. We give a lot of power to temptation. We give a lot of power to fear. We give a lot of power to persecution throughout the world. We give a lot of power to the creeping godlessness that is around us. And it is true that it's heavy and that it's weighty. Darkness is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12 in terms of encumbrance and the sin that easily entangles us. We know that, we talked about it this morning, that there is freedom in Christ. That's because the life away from Christ, the darkness that's away from Christ, is so heavy. Stephen, Paul, Jesus, these moments that we looked at this evening, those are some pretty heavy moments. But heaviness does not equate to power. This morning we were in John chapter 8. We're going to be back in John chapter 8 this evening. And this morning we talked about the freedom that Jesus proclaimed that he was. Here in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus also proclaims that he's something else. See this in John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. But he says this is for he who follows him. Now, back in the times when Jesus was speaking this, that doesn't sound right, when he was speaking these words, those that were listening to him could just get up and follow him. So how are we supposed to follow him today? We don't have to move far from this chapter to get a really good idea. Jesus says in John 8 and verse 23, he says, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And he lists a lot of, we see throughout the New Testament, all of this, all that goes into who he is. He is the light. He is the truth. We see within this chapter, he is the one who comes from above. He is the one who the Father has sent. He is the one who speaks the truth that the Father has sent, that the Father has told him to speak. He is the one who will be raised up. He is the one who is the Son of Man. And we looked at that this morning. And to sum all of this up, he is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the one that we give our lives to. And if we believe that he is everything that he says he is, and we also continue in his word, and we saw that as well, then we have his light. And we see all throughout scriptures, all throughout the New Testament, that how that light shines for us and what it means for us in so many various and different ways. But the thing that I most want to point out this evening is that Jesus does not give us something that is weaker than darkness. It is not weaker. It is stronger. It is more powerful. It is lighter, liberating, freeing. Jesus says in Matthew 11 and verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It is lighter. Darkness is heavy. It is burdensome, and we know that it is. But what that light is founded in, and where this lightness comes from, is the promises of God. And darkness, no matter how heavy that may be and how dark it may be, cannot topple those things. It cannot take away from us our hope. It cannot take away from us our joy and our God. And light is also just more powerful than the darkness. And I think we see a really good illustration of this, both literally and figuratively, in the life of Paul. Literally in the fact that Paul was blinded by both darkness and light, when you think about it. Paul was blinded by darkness when he was persecuting the church, when he was contending against Jesus the Christ. But it was the light of Christ that blinded, took away Paul's physical sight, but also brought him to helplessness, because light is more powerful. We also see figuratively that the truth of Jesus overcame the darkness that was in Paul. And when you think about it, one of the greatest fears of the church at this time, one of the greatest moments of darkness of the church at this time, is all of a sudden turning to this wonderful moment of joy. Joy that extends down to us today. That is something that only the light of God can do. But it was not Paul that also suffered this darkness of not being able to see. There's something that I want to point out in John chapter 7. Before we get to Jesus saying that I am the light of the world, we see Nicodemus speaking with some of his fellow Pharisees, and he makes a point to them, a point that sounds in Jesus' favor, and they say this in John chapter 7 and verse 52. They answered him, "You are not also from Galilee, are you? Search and see that no prophet arises out of Galilee." And I think the point that they're making is, look at the scriptures. Look at the scriptures. A prophet does not, and they may be specifically talking about the Messiah, a prophet doesn't come from Galilee. Just take a look. And my question is, what does the scripture say? Well, we see in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be a ruler in Israel. And his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." And I realize we're not talking about Galilee here, but the scripture is pointing out that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem, the actual place where Jesus came from. But also, the scripture says this in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 1, and this is quoted in Matthew, showing that it is talking about Jesus. "But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In earlier times he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them." Now I want to point out what the Pharisees said here in the 7th chapter. They said, "Search and see." Search and see. Look at the scriptures. And I'll point out that either they didn't do much searching themselves, or if they were searching, they weren't doing very much seeing. We can search the scriptures, and we will find many passages that should give absolute comfort to a child of God and a child of light, especially in this world of darkness. But we don't just need to find these scriptures. We do need to find them, but not just find them, but see them. And see them for what they really are. And I compiled just a few verses to hopefully give us some encouragement this evening. And the first one is Psalm 145, verse 17. And in this we read, "The Lord is righteous in all of His ways, and kind in all of His deeds. The Lord is near to all those who call upon Him, and to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him, and He will also hear their cry and will save them." Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2, Isaiah says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation." Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear, because you are more valuable than many sparrows." John 16 and verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, so that you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." 1 John 4 and verse 4, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than is in the world." We search the scriptures, and we see many scriptures like this. And we see them, and we see them, but what do we see whenever we see them? We see that God is, what does it say back in Psalm 145, we see that the Lord is near to all those who call upon Him. But do we see, do you see, that when you need help, the Lord is there, and that He is near to you? We see in Isaiah chapter 12, we see this prophet Isaiah saying that because of my trust, I don't have to be afraid in this life. Because of my trust in God, I don't have to be afraid. But do we see, do you see, that you can say the exact same thing in your life? We see in Matthew chapter 10 that we don't have to be afraid because we are more important than sparrows. We see that. But do we see, really see, that our value is not measured in money? That our value is measured in the fact that God was willing to give His Son for us? John 16, we see that Jesus has overcome the world. But do we see that means because we are His that we will not be overcome by the world? We see in 1 John in chapter 4 that He has overcome the world, and that He is greater than what is in the world. Do we see that because we are His, that He is greater than the darkness that is in our lives? And this is only a small portion of what we see. There's another point that I wanted to bring out about those that said search and see the scriptures is that even if they were searching the scriptures about this Jesus, they were not doing it with the right purpose. And I want to open our minds to the purpose that we can look at these scriptures, and that we can look at the complete revelation of God and ask the question, what is the purpose of life? Is it just not to be overcome by the darkness? Just to survive the darkness? I would say no. The purpose of light is to penetrate and smother it. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, He says that don't hide your light, but shine it. Shine it so that the darkness that your light shines through the darkness. That people see your light and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We see whenever we look at the scriptures that darkness is not more powerful than light. We see that if we are His children, if we walk with Him, if we have put on Christ in baptism, if we do what He says, that we have that light. We see all of these things, but I want us to see, truly see, that because we have this light, because light is greater than darkness, it's not just that we will not be overcome by the darkness, but we can make an impact in this world. And so search the scriptures, search our lives, see the purpose that God has in our life, and see the fact that we can make a difference. Not just that the darkness can't overcome us, but we can overcome the darkness. If you this evening are ready to accept that light that Jesus offers, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If you need to be baptized or if you need any prayers of the congregation, please come forward and stand as we sing.